Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
As soon as the show was over yesterday, I headed down to Deep Ellum because there was this soul band I really like called Duran Jones playing down at Club Dada. And in fact, you can hear play a little bit of that Duran Jones for us there, Shippy. It's kind of like part of this current soul revival that's going on. Leon Bridges and Sharon Jones and all these. I kind of started with Sharon Jones, maybe Winehouse blew up. But there's
still in San Diego.
This guy's got a great voice.
They're hungry like the wolf.
Yeah.
Didn't that guy in that reality show you say Ghetto Revival? You love that guy?
Oh, that guy was badass.
Love that guy.
It was just a random white guy that said Ghetto Revival and it didn't mean anything.
I really like this sound.
It's great, isn't
it? It's legit.
Yeah. And part of it, too, is they have to record it right so that it sounds authentic. You know, you use some old tape equipment. It's not all digitized. But anyway, so they
I'd imagine this sounds really good live.
They were fantastic. Like, it was exceeded my expectations. His voice held up. He had these two chicks playing horns. He had a brass section. And they just sounded really, really good. But the show, they weren't going to hit the stage till 10 or 10:30. And so I'm already down here. I'm not going to go all the way back to Allen. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go to Deep Ellum. And there's a brewery down there called Brain Dead Brewing. Ben, you've heard of that place.
Yeah, they're legendary.
Yeah, they're a popular spot. I'd never had their beer. And so my buddy Luke scooped me up and we went down there, met up with some friends down there. And so we parked like pretty far down the street and then had to walk down the block. And Brain Dead Brewing is across the street from what used to be, the Rehab Lounge. Remember we shot a music video there, right?
Yes.
So we're across the street from that, and I'm walking.
Hold on a second. I want to make sure KT heard that.
Yeah.
We shot a music video there, Kevin.
I've seen it.
No.
Have you? It's on YouTube.
Oh. Wait, you guys shot a music video there?
We shot a music video there, Shippy, back in our day.
What?
I don't think it's on YouTube right now.
1996,
no,
bro.
I got it and put it up a couple nights ago.
Bobby Belt find it?
At the VCR.
Bobby Belt will find it. So we're out there and I'm sitting on the patio and I'm enjoying the good beer, Brain Dead, good beer, good food. And I'm just kind of looking around and I had read a lot of articles. So I don't go to Deep Ellum that often. And if I go, I usually go to like the Bomb Factory for a show. And the Bomb Factory is on really the back south side of Deep Ellum.
Yeah.
Like you can go to a show at Bomb Factory and not really engage with Deep Ellum, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Very much so.
So that had been most of my Deep Ellum experiences last couple years. Well, as we're walking down the street to go to Brain Dead, I'm looking around going, good God, they've just torn buildings down and legendary Deep Ellum buildings that I've seen for, you know, almost 30 years now. Some of them are gone, completely torn down, and it looks like that sort of new construction that you would see, like, I don't know, when you're going to a new development in Austin. Where they're trying to capture some old feel, but it's all brand new construction, like right smack dab in the middle of Deep Ellum. And Ben, there was one thing that was like all these retail shops, and then there's a walkthrough, you know, because it used to be you have to go all the way down to Crowdis and go through or go all the way down to the block. Now they have these walkthroughs so that it's easier to get to block in the middle of the block.
So are you telling me that Deep Ellum has undergone a revival?
It is.
Or they're undergoing one, or it's planned.
It's been happening.
It's been happening. Now, Shippy earlier had the theory that it all started with Bottled Blonde. Is that right, Shippy?
Yeah, it's just, I think that's sort of where it all started. Bottled Blonde was the first, like, real uptown spot to land in Deep Ellum. And I know a lot of the people who frequent Deep Ellum aren't, like, huge fans of Bottled Blonde, even though, you know, it's a good time.
Yeah, I know. See, when we said revival, I think the revival began probably 10 years before that. The revival of it, right?
Well, I think this is what I think is interesting about Deep
Ellum talk. Because I think Bottled Blonde has changed it.
Okay, well, that's what I want to ask, so you guys probably can't relate to this because of the age you're at. But what happened was in the '80s, Deep Ellum was nothing. It's like, hey, there used to be an old blues district down here 70 years ago. And a guy we've talked about on our show before who was a legendary Dallas figure, a guy named Jeff Lyles, who now runs mm-hmm. the Kessler. Lyles and a couple of his buddies went down in 1982 or 83 and opened, what was that called? The Profit Bar.
Mm-hmm.
And it later became Gypsy Tea Room. And now I think they call it, or maybe at the time it was the Profit Room. But that's where a music scene was happening. And it hit an apex in the late 80s when all these bands were getting signed out of Dallas. And the biggest one was Edie Brickell and the New Bohemians. They had a huge hit on MTV, that What I Am song. And they were big. And so I remember there was a major label compilation called Dude, You Rock. And it was a Deep Ellum compilation. And all these bands were getting signed out of Deep Ellum. And it was a big thing. And then, you know, Ben and I were down there a lot right after we got out of high school in the early 90s because we were in a rap group. And so that's the music scene of Dallas. So we were doing gigs down there. But what happened was you started getting people that were going down there just to drink as opposed to going down there to enjoy music. So mm-hmm. it became this thing where the music types are like, Deep Ellum sucks now. It's overrun by, you know, frat boys or whatever. And so then it goes through its metamorphosis, and then the music moves, and then it dies, and then it starts to come back, and it became a music scene again. And now, to Shippy's point about Bottled Blonde, we're now to the point where people are infusing big money into that area to make it a quote-unquote entertainment district, as opposed to small independent people trying to make it a music district with tattoo shops. And, you know, it's become a place where, Ben, you would be shocked at how much retail is down there.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by this. I remember Twisted Root moved down there.
Mm-hmm.
Is that near the Mavs, the Mavs offices that were there? Is that considered Deep Ellum, or is that a little
too
far?
So that's the far, very far edge of it, and there's nothing really going on down there.
Yeah.
That's where Mavs Gaming is now, by the way.
Okay. I remember, you know, obviously we had been going there for years and years and years, and then there was like a high-profile accident that happened down there.
Outside the Gypsy Tea Room.
And I think a guy was injured, and
yes.
And I remember there was so much talk about that, and I think when a story like that happens, I think people start thinking, wow, maybe that area is not safe.
Yeah, and the other thing that happened, Ben, is that people that were not old enough to drink went down there and just hung out. And so when you have people just hanging out with nothing better to do, especially young people that make bad decisions, then you start having fights and some of these sorts mm-hmm. of things. So what the money people are doing is they're trying to run all the people out of there, pump money into it, and then turn it into an entertainment district where people want to come spend their money. So because it's got a quirky history, there's like Brain Dead Brewing is a good example of a place that could have existed in Deep Ellum at any time along the journey, right? But I think because there's so much popularity in breweries, I think Deep Ellum Brewing will be fine regardless of what comes up around it. I was looking across the street and I was like, what is that? It's a building I'd never seen before. My buddy Luke goes, that's a Tex-Mex restaurant with this giant patio. And, dude, it was an expensive-looking building. Like, it's a building, I think they tore it down and rebuilt it. And then, as we're talking about this, my buddy Luke's like, look, if Deep Ellum's going to be this thing they want it to be, they have to fix the parking problem. And lo and behold, I open up Central Track today, and what do I see? But a story about a 12-story building that's going to go in next to Angry Dog behind the bomb factory. Huh. And the first five stories, think back to Deep Ellum, where it used to just be a bunch of one- and two-story buildings except for like the old Adam's Hat building or mm-hmm. whatever. So now it's a 12-story building with retail living, and the first five stories are a garage next to Angry Dog.
That's going
to
be nuts.
I think it's, you know, I think you get into this area where kind of what KT was talking about is it, folks who are down there, or maybe from what you had talked about, the folks who had gone down there from a local uprising standpoint to try to create something versus big, big money coming down, and those two sides are opposed. You know, we want to, quote unquote, keep it weird, and then there's folks that want to know, let's make a bunch of money here.
Right.
And I do think that what's happening in Uptown is it looks like the retail and restaurants over there are sustainable just from the amount of people that live over there, because mm-hmm. there's condos everywhere now.
And hotels.
But the hotel I think of the most is the Omni Dallas. The Omni Dallas is on the other side of downtown, and the convention center is right there. Mm-hmm. And that thing is packed all the freaking time. Mm-hmm. And it does seem like there would be enough traffic between the people that already live here and are looking for other things to do and the tourism that comes here. if they revitalize that area, I think it could work.
I do too. And the thing that made me think of as I was looking at this, you and I have talked before about the Pearl District in San Antonio, where the anchor was the old Pearl Brewing. But it's got a lot of character. They pumped a bunch of money into it, and it's nice, but it still has a lot of character in terms of the architecture and the way the buildings look. As I was walking around Deep Ellum, it was like I felt like it was – I didn't feel like it looked like Uptown, but I felt like there was a sheen to it that I can understand why people would go, well, they're uptowning it. But I just thought, like, architecturally and the things, it didn't strike me as Uptown. It made me think more of, like, an Austin kind of vibe, quite honestly. But
I think that's with more time, like – because Bottle Blonde isn't the only place that's like that in Deep Ellum.
And so, hold on, I want to say this. Back when I used to go to Deep Ellum a lot, I didn't even consider where Bottled Blonde is Deep Ellum.
I didn't either.
I considered it the entrance to Deep Ellum before you got into Deep Ellum.
Yeah.
So there's another spot that's actually in the heart of it. It's called Stir. And my buddy Cook and then somebody on the AutoFlex Leasing Fantex texted in. Stir was kind of the first one to start this whole thing, where it was kind of that uptown vibe. A lot of the guys who run clubs in Dallas and Citizen. Basically, they started this up in Deep Ellum, and they're actually about to open one in Fort Worth as well.
Yeah. So Citizen is it seems too small for what the business they do. Are they going to move out of that little house and move?
I don't know. Maybe with the way that things are going. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if everything kind of tries to move over towards Deep Ellum to get all these clubs and things in the same area because. Wow. You limit people from having to Uber to the other side of town with, you know, no real public transportation. I know when I go out, if I go to Deep Ellum, I'm going to try to stay in Deep Ellum just because I don't want to have to try to get out of all that traffic. It's a madhouse. So and it makes a lot of sense.
And I want to throw one more thing in there in this conversation since we have been talking about the, it all started with me going down to the show last night. So this is a little soul band. I didn't know people in Dallas were hip to them. There was an amazing crowd. There's probably 300 people there at Dada. And, dude, there was a ton a ton of Tolos. I probably had 10 people come up to me last night. Like, hey, love the show. I was so excited. I was like, oh, man, this is really great. And there was one particular encounter I had. Someone just tweeted in or texted in, I'm sorry. It said, Deep Ellum was for metalheads. And I remember all the metal guys down there. That wasn't our scene, but I remember all the metal guys. So a dude walked in. I'm standing at the front of Dada last night. It's before Duran Jones goes on. And a guy walked in, white dude with real long hair. And he's got that, he's, you know, he didn't look like he'd be a soul music fan to me, but who knows? Everybody, you know, got their own style. And he's wearing the crispiest, clean, black and white Air Jordan 1s I've seen in a while. I mean, they just popped. It's like, nice kicks. Those shoes are great. And he looked up and he goes, Skin, you know, hey, fan of the show, fan of the Mav stuff. It's great to meet you. I'm so excited. And I was like, oh, cool, man. I love your shoes, you know. So we had a 10-second conversation and seemed like a Tolo, and then he walked off. And his buddy behind him goes, do you know who that is? And I go, no. And my buddy, Luke, owns a record store and knows everything about music. He goes, he's from the Dallas metal group Power Trip. They're huge. And I was like, and then my buddy Luke is like, oh, yeah, Power Trip's a big-time metal act. They're huge. I was like, really? And I was like, wow, that's cool. So the dude's name is Nick Stewart, and he's wearing the crispiest Air Jordans I've ever seen. I figured for our metal listeners, maybe they know Power Trip, let's play a few seconds of one of Nick's great songs. This is Executioner's Tax with 2.3 million plays on Spotify of the Dallas metal band Power Trip.
It's kind of like the Tony Romo song.
Tony Romo, Tony Romo. Dallas Cowboy.
So imagine...
I like that. Like that part right there. There you go.
When I find out the guitarist of this band is walking in crispy, clean Air Jordan 1s to watch Duran
Jones.
He's a Tolo.
That's officially our metal band then.
Never judge a book by its cover.
Are you guys cool with that?
Yeah.
Power Trip is the official metal band of the Ben and Skin Show.
Hey, also a great Jake Cole song.
I'll write a sad note to Monkey Fetus.
Oh, no. What happened to them?
They broke up.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, they broke up. Yeah, they're not a band anymore.
They couldn't hang with Power Trip.
Yep.
So they
quit.
Spoiled what?
I didn't know that.
So you had a great trip.
I am a monkey fan.
I want you to go soak it in, Ben. I need your feedback on what's happening in Deep Ellum.
Let's make a Ben and Skin trip to Deep Ellum.
Let's do it, and let's have you go in a coyote costume.
I'm down.
I like it. I'll settle for that.
Let's
do it.
Let's go. Let's do it.
I like it.
If they have trails, I'll chase some people.
All right, there you go. Awesome. Skin's field trip to Deep Ellum. Sounds really good, man. We'll have to get down there and check it out.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.